Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I want to talk to you about the AWS-3 auction in wireless deployment, how it's going to affect wireless deployment, because quite frankly, that's what most of us do. We do wireless deployment. So what I wanted to get into was how it's going to affect us. But first of all, I want to wish you all the happiest of holidays, okay? A very Merry Christmas to all of you. And I hope that you have a very blessed Christmas. I hope you're all home for Christmas. Yeah, it's terrible traveling Christmas time. And I hope you're all home. And I hope, personally, I hope no one's on call. I hope you guys get to have a nice, quiet, relaxed holiday. Hopefully you get the week off. I know I talk to some guys that get laid off this time of year, but they don't seem to care. I mean, sure, you miss the money, but sort of nice to be home. As for me, I've been working around the holidays, but I have Christmas Eve and Christmas off. So, it's just so nice to have off, you know, it's a nice break. And normally, when I did government work, this was a busy time of year because the way governments work, at least what I've dealt with governments, transportation, a lot of that, they put out their RFPs like right before the holidays because they don't care. They're going on holiday and it's usually a quiet period. So you got to work to get the bids in. They just don't care. That way, come January, they can review everything and then, you know, possibly get started and, you know, early next year. So anyway, I'm just happy to have a quiet time, not working a lot this holiday, meaning, you know, I'm just not slammed like I was doing stuff around the house. And that's about it. My honey-do list. Honey, do this. Honey, do that. That's the list I'm working on right now. So anyway, I know it's probably strange for all you guys that I'm bringing up the AWS auctions, AWS-3 auctions. And I just wanted to bring it up because a lot of people aren't even looking at that right now. But I got to tell you, that's going to really affect the work we're going to have here in about 6 months to a year. So first off, let me just start saying this is my opinion, okay? It's not, you know, nothing set in stone except probably the money that the carriers have to pay, which is a lot of money. So, but it's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of deployments, which, by the way, I have a scope of work training tutorial package that you guys can use when you're negotiating your scope of work with a carrier. And if you're not negotiating your scope of work, I know that this does relate to this, but some of you guys, I mean, you guys just take the scope that the customer gives you. Listen, that scope can be a legal document. So if you don't have a defined way to get paid off that document, chances are good that you could possibly get screwed. It all depends on your relationship with the customer. If you're working with someone for the first time or something like that, you may want to be sure that you have everything defined because you're doing a service. In other words, they probably buy a lot of their own hardware. Now, you'll probably be supplying some of the hardware. But the reality is, if you don't define how you're going to get paid, how are they going to know how to pay you? Is it a survey, a sign-off? Is it a closeout package? Is it an audit? How do you get paid? And how long do you have to wait to get paid? Net 30, net 60, net 90, and so on. That's my point with all that. So first off, let me get back into the auction. I'm going to give you an overview of the auction, okay? In the blog, I have a chart, you know, with what the block, the frequency, the bandwidth for each block they're selling. In other words, they have like a block A1, which is a frequency 1695 to 1700 megahertz, and it's a 5 megahertz channel. Okay, so they have 5 meg. There's 176 licensed nationwide. Block B1, 1700 to 1710 megahertz, which is, again, 10 megahertz channel. And they have 176 licenses there nationwide. Chances are, I would imagine the big carriers will probably get those. And I don't know who won yet. Quite frankly, I didn't look today. I don't know. I would imagine, you know, obviously Verizon and AT&T will probably be the big winners. I don't know if Sprint and T-Mobile are getting in or if they'll be outspent. And I also know Sprint with Sprint Spark with their 2.5 megahertz channel. They're trying to get that out there. So anyway, sorry. Anyways, all the channels are in there. When they have one solid channel, like just 10 megahertz, like the B1, 1700 to 1710, it'll probably be TDD, which is just time division, I would say duplexing. So that would be just one channel where they transmit and receive on everything. Okay. Now, say channel G, I'll just jump to that one. There's two channels, 1755 to 1760, and there's 2155 to 2160. So it's a 10 megahertz channel, but you have two channels. You have 5 megahertz up and 5 megahertz down. I don't know which is which here. Sorry, fellas. But you have two channels at 5 megahertz each. So the reason I'm telling you that, because that would be FDDs, where it's frequency division duplexing. So they just have all one channel does at 5 megahertz goes up, and all the other 5 megahertz comes down pretty much. That's the way I understand it, okay? So we'll go over some acronyms too. AWS, Advanced Wireless Services. It's pretty simple, right? Advanced Wireless Services. EA, when I said area type EA, economic areas, CMA, cellular market areas, and that's really all you need to know for now. So I think that pretty much explains it, right? You guys really, most of you that are in the industry probably understand this, so it's probably not a big deal. And I just was trying to give you an overview of it. So originally, the FCC was hoping to raise $10 billion, $10 billion with a B, right? So the reason for that, that's a very important number, because they were hoping to raise $7 billion to fund FirstNet. If you guys don't know what FirstNet is the first network responder system. They're going to build an LTE, they being the government, is going to build a government LTE system nationwide. I think they have 10 megahertz and a 700 megahertz. I believe it's band 41. I'm just doing it from memory. I might have it farther down here. But anyways, that's important, because if they didn't come up with the money, we would pay for it. Anyone here in the U.S. would pay for it with tax dollars. The good news is they not only hit $10 billion, the bidding's over $40 billion. And last I checked, that's like $42 billion. Billion with a B. Billion U.S. dollars. That's a lot of money. It's good for the U.S. I'm going to explain the pros and cons, okay? But it's really good. So here's where the money's going. Or at least this is what the government's telling us. I'm always suspicious when they tell us. $7 billion's going to FirstNet. That I believe, because obviously they have to put the $7 billion to FirstNet to fund it. And I pray to God FirstNet gets to keep... I wish they'd give FirstNet $10 billion, because they raise so much money, or $14 billion, because it's going to cost a lot of money to build out a nationwide network. Ask any of the carriers. They spent a fortune building this stuff out. I'll get into that later. So right now, they got over $40 billion. So $7 billion, FirstNet. And I'm just going to use $40 billion because it's easy. So that means there's $33 billion, which you're going to pay towards the debt. Right? $33 billion to pay the American debt down. Now, our debt is $3 trillion. But let me tell you, anything we put towards it is good, because God knows the government isn't going to give anything more than they absolutely positively have to. So I'm hoping that 33, or if it's 42 billion, it'd be 35 billion, does go towards the debt, because we got to pay it down. I don't know. I know all of you have theories about that, how to get rid of it, blah, blah, blah. But all I know is that's where the money's supposed to go, okay? So who's dishing out this kind of money? Well, all the carriers are. It would be not only the large carriers like the AT&T's, the Verizon Wireless. I don't know if Sprint participated. Last I heard, they were not going to. And I got to be honest with you, I wasn't keeping up with it. I just wanted to go over how this is going to affect wireless deployment. But I know there's over 70 companies bidding on this. It's the first auction since 08. And there's going to be an incentive auction after this in the 600 megahertz range. So let's forget all that and who's going to bid on it. There's one thing we know. They just spent billions of dollars on frequencies, right? So they're going to want to make their money back as soon as possible. I want to give you this knowledge because I want you to understand what's going on here. It may seem obvious, but the carriers are going to have to deploy to make their money back. That's how they make their money back, on this bandwidth. Whether they do new services, I think it'll be LTE Advanced. I don't think it'll be 5G. Might be, if they can get 5G out in time, but I sort of doubt it. I think it'll probably be LTE Advanced. So license frequency, carriers want to build. Is it going to happen right away? No, it's probably going to take about a year till things really get rolling. Why is it going to take a year? Because the OEMs need to understand what the carriers want. The OEMs like Alcatel-Lucent, Ericsson, Nokia, Samsung, and the others, they got to put a product together. Can they do, if they just wanted LTE, if the carriers just wanted LTE, they could do it tomorrow. They could put it together. I hate to say tomorrow. I shouldn't say that. It's going to take all these OEMs probably 3 months to 6 months to create a product. And then it'll take another 3 months to 6 months probably to get it working the way the carrier wants. But they could deploy in that time because by then it's a firmware change. Devices have to be built. In other words, your smartphone, the Apple, things like that, they have to be built to work on the new system. If it's just LTE, it's simple. All they do is put new filters, new RF boards in it, bam, done. And that sounds simple, but it still takes 3 to 6 months to do that. So in reality, when this auction's done, the FCC and the carriers will go through all their stuff to get everything finalized. Then the carriers will start working with the OEMs to get the product and the features they want. Then they'll start working with site acquisition to secure sites, start working with leasing to secure leases. They'll also need to know if they're going to use remote radio heads, which I'd say that's a safe bet. They're going to have to know everything about these towers. That's where, say, the Crown Castles, American Tower, any big tower company is going to have to start working with them. They're going to start doing studies. They're going to have to beef up the towers. And I think this will be one of the slower builds because they're going to have to beef up almost every tower. I know they've done that in the past, and they'll have to do it again. I doubt any towers are ready to hang, 9 to 12 remote radio heads, especially if they weigh, 60 to 100 pounds each. Think about that. Let's say you're putting on 9 remote radio heads, and they weigh 100 pounds each. That's 900 pounds. Now, I don't think they do anymore. I think they're getting the weight down to between 25 and 50 pounds, but still, let's say 50 pounds, 9 radio heads, remote radio heads, that's 450 pounds. Bam, on the tower. Then you got to add the antennas. Now, chances are the antennas are going to be heavier because they're going to use MIMO. For those of you who don't know, MIMO, multiple in, multiple out. That means multiple connectors on the antenna. Let's say if they use 4 or 8, there's going to be 4 or 8 connectors on the antenna. You're going to have 4 to 8 jumpers from a remote radio head, possibly 2 remote radio heads there. It's going to be a lot of weight. Trust me. The good news is you would think they would decommission the 2G networks while all this is going on. Again, for you deployment people, more work, more work, more work, more work. Be ready for it. You'll probably need a lot of specialty people. For beefing up the towers, you'll possibly have to weld, construct a lot of steel work. For the remote radio heads, the jumpers, running fiber up the tower, running power out there, working in the shelters, a lot of work, people. Think of everything you got to deploy out there. The other thing you got to do is figure out how to keep the copper thieves out. It's damn copper thieves. I just put a post out. They just caught some people. But you got to watch those guys because they're always breaking in. So anyway, so I would imagine the work's going to hit big time at the end of 2015. I could be wrong. It might be 2016. But I would like to think the end of 2015 it's starting to hit. And oh, by the way, FirstNet's going to hit. Probably start deploying beginning of 2016. We expect the RFPs out by mid-2015. They're doing a lot of RFQs now, FirstNet. That's going to be a nationwide government system. Now, with that said, it's government, okay? Not a lot happens fast in government unless you got the Navy SEALs running it. I don't think the Navy SEALs are going to be running the deployment. I mean, do you? I mean, you can straighten me out here. If they did, I'd say things would get done pretty quick. Why do I say that? Because those guys make things happen. However, the politicians are going to have a say in this, so it's going to take a long time. And I admire FirstNet and what they're trying to do. It just seems to be moving slow. I know they have to be cautious. It's going to be government money. They're getting their lab built, which I can't think of the name of the group now, but it's out in Colorado, the Department of Standards. They're actually doing some testing now. And it's just going to be a huge build. It's going to be massive. I don't know if any of you guys remember when Sprint built out Network Vision or Verizon built out the LTE system or AT&T. It takes a long time to completely build it out. I mean, you got to start somewhere. But for what FirstNet wants to do, it has more to do with the geographical region. They have to cover, I think, 95% of the United States, not the population, but the geography. That's a lot. So the good news is it's a lot of work for everyone out there. And I'd like to think a lot of you guys that, are based, say, in out in the middle of nowhere. I won't name any place because I came from out in the middle of nowhere. But I'd like to think a lot of you guys will get a lot of work because now cell coverage is almost everywhere. But FirstNet is going to really make an attempt, and they have a huge job ahead of them. It's probably going to cost more than $7 billion for the deployment, the equipment, for everything end to end, because they have to build this, the core. They have to build everything. I know I went on and on. So FirstNet is looking for someone to really fund it. So who's going to help them fund it? I don't know. I don't know if the carriers want to deal with it. They just spent $40 billion, you know, collectively on their own frequencies. Why would they want to help FirstNet build for their 10 megahertz of bandwidth or 20 megahertz? I think it's 10 megahertz. So with that said, what about Google? Google would be a competitor overnight. They'd have an instant wireless nationwide system covering 95% of the United States. Maybe they want to be a partner in it. It'd be worth their time and money. And I know I'm getting way off subject here, but for you deployment people, it is in your best interest that this gets funded. If you're a taxpayer, it is in your best interest that somebody helps fund this. And why do I say that? Because let's say it costs $7 billion to build it. Now, I know the money is going to be spread out, and it's not just for the RAN system or deployment or the wireless, but the reality is to maintain a system that large is a lot of money. Is your cell phone free? It's probably not. Maybe your company pays for it, but it ain't free. It's coming out of somebody's pocket, okay? So my point is, FirstNet's going to have the same issue. And I know it won't be FirstNet running. It'll be some government organization. I really don't see FirstNet carrying through to maintenance. But and maybe I'm wrong. They can correct me. I think they're just actually doing the actual deployment. But the reality is it's going to cost a lot of money to maintain. So I think they'll be looking for a partner. And I think they will look for a private-public partnership. That's my opinion. I don't really know. Anyone out there might know better than me, but I don't think they know yet either, FirstNet, the people planning everything. I think they're trying to look at what their best options would be to maintain this for a long time. The other thing is with this LTE network, one of the initial services on is going to be video. So the government will, you know, it's literally where we thought we'd be someday. Big Brother is going to be watching as much as they can. Are they going to be watching in your house? No, probably not. Are they going to be watching every city street as much as they can? I mean, they're already trying to do that as much as they can. So imagine once they have this nationwide network built out. Anyway, I just want to let you guys know that as far as deployment goes, there's a ton of work coming up. So with all this work coming up, I'm asking that you be prepared. The problem with tower crews, and if you know anything about like what AT&T did and what MasTec went through, they'll build up all these crews, and when the work stops, they'll lay everybody off. Then they'll try to hire again. You know, they don't want to pay people just to sit there, and I get that sucks. You know, I mean, I don't want to lose my paycheck. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to get paid. I want to work. I want to earn my pay. It's just the way it is. You know, I mean, nobody wants to be out of work. So when you get in this industry, just remember it's going to be feast or famine. Remember to save your money, okay? Don't just spend it all. A lot of these guys spend it all, and then they aren't ready for the hard times. And I've been through that, you know, just pointing out what happened to me in the past. So it's going to be plenty of work. And I just wonder if you guys are going to be ready, you know. Will the industry be ready to comply? Will the climbers have standard safety compliance? Are we going to be ready to be safe? Are we going to be able to ramp up and train these people properly? Will the schedules be reasonable? Will the tower crews get paid? Hey, payment's a big deal. It's hard to be safe if you don't get paid. It's really, really hard to continue to practice safety if you don't get paid. Got to be safe. So we have a lot of work coming up. I hope everybody out there makes a ton of money, all the deployment people. I know you guys are going to go in. I know it's going to go to lowest bidder. It always does, but just don't cheat yourselves, fellas. Remember, you deserve to get a fair wage. If you undercut everything hoping to make it on change orders, good luck with that. I hope that works out for you. Doesn't always work out. Sometimes it just builds bad blood between you and the potential new customer. You got to find balance. But I just want you guys to be sure that you're ready out there. That's all. And by the way, I have this in every post, but now is a time when we have to support Hubble. It's really an important time to really make Hubble more than just, you know, something that we talk about. But I really want to make it something that that we can give to, that we appreciate. And just to put it in terms you understand, I want you to think of all the families out there that are having a really crappy Christmas because someone's hurt. And you know there's a lot of people out there that got hurt this year. I want you to think of that. This is a time, the holiday season, when we can support Hubble because they're supporting all these families the best they can. They're doing the best that they can to support them. I'm going to give you some examples. Let's say if there were 12 climbers that died this year. They're going to do all that they can to support those families. I don't know what the lawyers will say, and Hubble has to keep everything secret, but they're going to do all that they can to help those families. The lawyers may not want them to, you know, I don't know. Everyone lawyers up now. The other thing is, how about all those climbers that got hurt? Once again, they're going to lawyer up, but Hubble's going to do all they can to help those families. They're going to reach out. They're going to help them. Some are going to accept the help. Some are not. Some are going to need the help, whether they like it or not. You know, Hubble's helping even their kids get through college and the wives get a better education of some of these guys that got killed. So go on their webpage. You know, it's HubbleFoundation.org. So it's just worth looking. It's worth taking HubbleFoundation.org. Did I say that? It's just worth taking the time. If you can give them something, that'd be great. But they go beyond just like the horrible things like that. What about when climbers get stuck somewhere and they can't get home because they didn't get paid? They don't have gas to get home. What about when a climber is working somewhere and the contractor cuts a job and they have no funds? What about when contractors don't have any money because they got screwed over by, say, a turf vendor or someone like that? Or what if they're like the subcontractor and they're third or fourth down on the food chain? That you had the customer, then you got the project management company, then you got the tower company that specializes in tower work, and then you have the local regional contractor that hires people, and then there's you, the contractor. Customer, national project management company, regional tower company, local tower company, tower manager, or tower, let's say turf vendor, and then you, the contractor. Chances are they don't want to pay you a salary. So let's see, how much margin is that? Customer is paying the bill. National company, taking out a large bit of their margin. Regional tower company, they're taking out some margin. Local company that finds a local person, they're taking out margin. And then the contractor who does the actual work, who's probably making the least amount of money. You know, they're the ones that have to, they have to bid against each other to make $10 an hour. And by the way, you should never do your work for $10 an hour. I hope you're making $100 an hour is what I'm hoping, minimum. But I know the reality. You take what you can get. You get paid by the job, not by the time. So you try to do the job in the shortest amount of time you can. I know how it works. Anyway, so that's my point. Let's really support the Hubble Foundation this year because a lot of people don't get paid. And, you know, that's something that in this industry, they don't link together. If you don't get paid, how can you afford to pay for safety? Getting paid and paying for safety go hand in hand. It's very frustrating. On the other hand, I've been hearing about companies that are making a lot of money and they still don't pay for safety because they want to increase margin. Hey, I get it. We all want to make more money until someone dies. Then what? Then what's your excuse? Oh, well, we were cutting back. You know, when OSHA investigates, you're trying to find that Comtrain certification. You know, you're trying to prove that someone was trained when they weren't. You're trying to fudge something just to prove to OSHA that, you know, you're a better liar. So, and I know I'm complaining here, I'm getting off topic, but that happens a lot, people. So with all this work that's coming up, with these auctions coming up, it's going to be another wave of the wireless build out. So we have to be as careful and as smart as we can. And we also have to realize that we don't have to be the lowest bidder every time. They're going to need good people. I know you're always going to have those guys that go for the lowest bidder, and you're always going to have these contractors out there just trying to talk people down in price. So what I want you to do is be smart about it. Okay. All right. I'll let you all go. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Again, I have books out there. I put Tower Climbing, an introduction in audio form. I have my scope of work training, which, you know, is a little more money, but it's a good tutorial. So tell me what you think. I have my books on Kindle. My books are on Gumroad and Sellify. All depends how you want to pay. Some people like a PDF version. Some people like the Kindle version. Some people want to pay with credit cards. Some people want to pay with... You think I'd have all this prepared, wouldn't you? But, PayPal. Some people want to pay with PayPal. I just drew a blank there. Sorry. But I wish all you guys a Merry Christmas. And I hope all you guys get to be home with your families. I really do. I know you probably like traveling with your workmates, but you probably like even more being home with your family. You know, at least I do. I'm so happy to be home with my, you know, with my wife. The kids are coming over and so on. And I pray that's the same for you guys. Enjoy it. Relax. Maybe you'll get to watch a little football here in the States, American football. And just really appreciate these times. You guys know what it's like to be away from home. So when you are home with your family, just appreciate it. Be thankful. It's Christmas. And for me, I'm a Christian. I celebrate the birth of Christ. I know, you know, happy Hanukkah if you're Jewish. I just want to wish all you guys a great holiday, and I pray that you get to enjoy it as much as you deserve to. All right? Thanks, everyone. Have a safe holiday. Be smart. Be safe. Pay attention to what you're doing. Make a plan. Follow the plan. Adapt, improvise, and overcome. See ya.